Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckanize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Hey, pretty baby, are you ready for me? Yes, you good rockin' at it down from Tennessee. I'm just that off about San Antonio with the radio blasting and the bird dog calling. There's a speed trap on my head down the town, but no local yoga gonna shut me down. Me and my boys got the trigger wound, and we come about a mile from a guitar sound. Nothing ever happened around my hometown, I kinda just hang around. But I heard someone calling my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Chevy car. Now I'm smoking into Texas with a hammer down and a rockin' little combo from the guitar down.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio coming at you. We are live here Sunday evening, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. You can call in at 516-387-1733. Appreciate everybody listening in, listening along. We like to thank one of our great sponsors, and that is Trucker Tools, Trucker Tools app, where you can find all-in-one, where you can track freight, book freight, look for, truck stops and fuel stops and parking, and they even got one little tab in there to let you find all the Walmarts and everything. We appreciate that. So where we're going to holler in tonight is about detention time. A lot of people don't know what that is. A lot of truckers still are having a hard time getting paid for that kind of stuff, even though carriers say they guarantee it. So we'll check into that. Also, there was a news report on Fox Business where C.H. Robinson, the CEO, was up there talking about truckers. He said that the average trucker makes $50,000 a year. And I thought that was kind of crazy. So dive into that a little bit. And, that kind of stuff. And everybody's still talking about how they need drivers. They need drivers. And we're out here telling you that we're out here. We're doing it. So we'll see what happens. And things like that, we're just kind of moving along here and everything. So we hope everybody's having a great night tonight. And we're just kind of trucking right along. Like I said, 516-387-1733. Don't forget to check out our website. It's redneckandeyes.com. And go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We are on Facebook Live. We're on YouTube Live, whatever you call it. And hope that's going real well. Trying to get the message out there to everybody, and hope everybody's having a great night. So trucking around along here. And hang out with us. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio.
Later on at the truck.
Let it go. Yeah, we got the gas to get.
we ain't finished yet.
Got some country boys and your redneck girls.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
RedneckAndEyes.com. Go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We really appreciate that. We're also on Facebook Live tonight, too. Appreciate everybody watching along there. And just wanted to let everybody know that we're getting hot and heavy on getting ready to go down to Louisville coming up in March. And I know that seems like, you know, half a year away, but still, you got to start planning ahead. Start getting ready now. We tell everybody, be sure, as truck drivers, you gotta plan ahead, and you always gotta find out where you're gonna stop. You know, when you're gonna take time off. Try to plan on time off, see the family, and all that kind of good stuff. And just remember that the truck show, it's toward the end of March. I think March 24th, 25th, 26th, down there in Louisville, Kentucky. You can start registering online at thetruckingshow.com, and that's tomorrow. The 1st of November is when you can start registering for that. So everybody be sure to do that and check that out, and hopefully have a lot of fun down there this year, because they canceled 2020, of course, and they also canceled 2021, so we're looking forward to getting over there and seeing everybody. And we really, all we did was set up in the parking lot, is what we did as Redneck and I, and then that got canceled, so we were trying to find ways to, you know, still be part of the trucking community, and so we started doing this stuff online, and so far it's been a great hit, big success, a lot of fun, of course we're learning a lot, and that's awesome too. So I'm going to keep that going. You know, so what I started talking about earlier this week was detention time And a lot of truck drivers out there, they still have problems getting detention time. And I don't know, still can't figure out why that is. You know, a lot of carriers out there, they're promising it. They're saying, you know, we guarantee detention time, we guarantee pay after a certain amount of time sitting at customers and all that guaranteed. You know, they always claim in there when they're trying to hire you is guaranteed detention time, guaranteed time, guaranteed. And so what the problem is what we see is when you get down to the fine print, and that's where we see a lot of drivers, they say, they claim they're getting detention time, but when they boil down to it, you got to read the fine print on everything, even as a company driver. You know, they say, well, no, you're gonna get paid, you know, starting after 2 hours. And then you find out that you only get paid after the first 2 hours if you've been there more than an hour. So that means you have to be there a minimum of 3 hours to even start getting paid. So 15 minutes after 2 hours, you don't get paid. 30 minutes after 2 hours, you don't get paid. There's a lot of carriers that do that. And so a lot of things we got to find out about is just getting the details, finding out what's going on with the details, and the fine print is a big deal. As an owner-operator, anybody will tell you as an owner-operator, that's what you got to do is get the fine print. We see all the time owner-operators, they are told or they say, hey, I want to get paid detention. Oh, yeah, no problem. You'll get paid detention. And then if you read the fine print, a lot of owner-operators that are leased on the carriers, those details are like you only get the detention time if the customer pays the detention time. So if the shipper pays the detention time, yeah, you get it. But if the shipper doesn't, well, then you don't. And a lot of times you find out that there's not a lot of shippers out there that will willfully pay detention time unless it's written in their contract. Shippers out there, they don't care. And that's what we found out when we started listening to a lot of these newscasts, and they're having meetings, they're having supply chain crisis task force meetings, and they're interviewing a lot of different heads of state, the Secretary of Transportation, all that, and all that's fine and good, but we know they're not going to do anything, because people in the higher levels, they know about this stuff. They know about this stuff because it's actually written into the law, okay? All these exemptions on how you don't have to pay truck drivers are all written into the law. Truck drivers are exempt from minimum wage, and they're exempt from overtime. The exemption for overtime was actually, because I learned this reading articles in the Landline magazine, so the exemption for overtime was actually written into the law back in the 30s when they were trying to keep drivers from actually wanting to work more, because they were trying to curb safety. So they said, hey, if you work too many hours, it'll make you tired. So we don't want you working too many hours. We don't want you getting paid overtime so that you don't want to work those hours. So naturally, drivers don't want to work more than what they're necessary to do because they don't get paid more. Now, in reality, that's not true, because a lot of drivers say, hey, as long as I'm getting paid, I'll work. And a lot of them just work on that. The time and a half or overtime, you know, a lot of people don't care about that. You know, there's a lot of industries out there that don't pay time and a half. Several industries out there don't pay time and a half. It's kind of like a, you know, the employer can if they want to, but some of them don't. Most of them don't. Some of them do. And a lot of people are like, yeah, that's great and all that. And everybody says, well, isn't that the law that they have to? Not every field has to. There's a lot of exemptions, and trucking is one of them. And what we came to find out is that over the years, trucking as a company driver, you don't, you know, and these are basically hourly. If you get paid by the mile, there's not even a guarantee you make minimum wage. So that's not even a deal. It's the hourly wages, the hourly workers, they don't get paid overtime. And then what we find out is that the employer says, hey, we don't pay overtime. You don't get paid overtime, but we need you to work, and you need to work. And even with a lot of these instances where you see a lot of companies, they do hourly, and then they say, okay, you start coming in the morning, and you drive for 10 hours, 10 or 12 hours, or even 14, and then you come in and work the dock, but we're not going to log the dock time. And technically the rule is that you could work more than 14. You just can't drive. So you can work, drive, go out there on the road, drive, make deliveries, whatever you want to do, 14 hours, and then come back into the office and then work the dock or you know, the yard or do whatever for another 4 or 5 hours. And they don't, you know, they're, you're not breaking a law because you technically it's just not driving. You just can't drive more than after you've been on duty for 14 hours. So being on duty is not a big deal. Now you still have to go home and take a 10-hour break. So companies kind of shoot themselves in the foot. I know I've been caught doing it several times where I've been out more than or I reached my 14 hours and then come to find out that I can't go in work to work early the next day. I have to wait until the time catches back up. So you have to take 10 hours off. You have to be off work for 10 hours or more. So we come into that contact. But as far as detention time, you know, that's primarily for the road drivers. Those drivers are the ones where I don't understand it. You know, we'll dive into this later on, but it seems to me what I'm still learning out there and you know, it was this way when I first started because it was such a high demand but there was such need. The local drivers or the like the dedicated route drivers, they were in high demand. So they were paying more. And it wasn't that they were in demand just in numbers. They were just in demand of reliability. You couldn't find a driver that you could rely on to show up to work every morning. You couldn't find a driver that you could rely on to, you know, always handle the same customer day in, day out, no matter how bad they were. You know, a lot of times drivers get fired up. They go to a customer, you know, 5 straight days and they're ready to kill somebody because they're like, I keep going to the same customer. They keep doing the same stupid crap and I'm ready to go. I ain't doing this no more. I don't want to do this. And what we find out is a lot of times these dedicated customers, they're the ones that's your bread and butter. And they're the ones that are always getting to you where you can, you know, you always know how to handle things. And sometimes those are the ones that's what they want. That's what they're paying for. They're paying for you to be there every day, no matter what, no matter how bad the freight has to be handled. You know, it's a pain in the butt. You know, sometimes that's what they're paying for. They're paying, and a lot of times they pay way, way better than over the road. And this is where I think a lot of people get a misconception about truck driving, is that truck driving pays really well if you can find that dedicated niche, that one thing that you can find that, you know, a customer needs or equipment customer needs or that customer that's going to pay to have you there all the time. And they're going to pay you well to do that all the time. You find those, you're going to do all right. Now, an over-the-road driver that just goes out there and hauls freight, those are the ones I think are the struggling the most. Those are the ones I think that there's probably a huge shortage of. It's just over-the-road truck drivers, the ones that just are sitting at the top, say, where to next? You know, those are the ones that I think the industry needs the most. The problem is, those are the ones that pay the least. They don't want to pay to have that driver sit there and just ask where to next. They don't do that. You know, they're willing to pay top notch for somebody to show up and make sure that Dallas load always gets going. You know, there's somebody, they're willing to pay somebody to be ready to go to that customer and pick that load up and bring it to the dock. They're willing to do that. What they're not willing to do is have truckers sit there and be ready to roll when the freight gets there or when the freight gets produced and boxed up, ready to ship, you know, all right, call that guy, you know, but there's no guys, there's nobody there. Cause where I think the real shortage, if there is a real shortage, that's where it's at. Now, boiled down to, those are the ones that they're not making that much money. They're the ones that need the detention time. They're the ones that need to be guaranteed that they're going to make the money when the time comes to be working. It's just not there. Detention time, not there. You know, everything. It's one of those things. And I think, and what we found out a lot of times we're doing these interviews with truckers over the road when these like NBC News and 2020 and CNN, and all of them start going out to these docks and truck stops and asking drivers, you know, what's your problem? What's the problem? Why is there a shortage? the top five reasons, compensation, detention time. It's that they're not being paid for the time that they're sitting there waiting. They're not being paid for the time that they're being punished for, you know, the trailer's got to get unloaded and it's going to take several hours. They're not being compensated for that. So why take those loads if you're not going to get paid that? We're finding out that's one of the reasons. That's one of the main reasons. And a lot of these drivers
finding out that's one of the reasons. That's one of the main.
Hit that button. Wrong button. But that's the one of the main reasons why we're seeing that. We're seeing that over the road truck drivers getting paid for compensation for sitting detention time. It's still, even though it may be written on the piece of paper when you go get hired on, guaranteed detention time, it's not all guaranteed. I can't tell you the times I've sat there and had to tell drivers from the dispatch side, you know, how they're not paying it. Why not? Well, you know, we thought we all had our I's dotted and T's crossed, but the customer service representative called back and said, well, since we didn't fulfill these certain criteria, which means that, you know, they only paid attention if we got there at 7 o'clock and stayed there past 10 and, you know, it was a Tuesday and not a Wednesday. I mean, it's crazy. And of course, everybody's trying to get out of paying, you know, so you have to make sure before. To me, it was like, as an owner operator, you know, every time you go into a place, you know, sometimes you may think you get paid detention or whatever, and then find out you don't. And then the next time the guy calls you up, hey, I need you to take that load there. You say, hey, I ain't taking that load. You didn't pay detention last time. Oh, I promise I'll pay it this time. You know, you got to get something in writing. You can't just say, you know, well, you know, okay, this time, you know, you promise. No, it's handwritten, contract written. Get it in writing, that kind of deal. As a company driver, you know, I would make sure that you knew the rules, that every rule was written. When you go to a carrier, and let's just say they're a medium, you know, 500, 600 trucks, and you're sitting in an orientation or whatever, and they're talking about how making sure that you don't piss anybody off by saying the wrong thing about their gender or something, you know, make sure you ask them, you know, where's the rule book about detention and of all that? And a lot of times, you know what? They don't even have it. They don't even have anything written about that because that's not their concern. That's not anything they're going to get sued over and lose. What they're going to get sued over and lose is like you saying, you know, ticking somebody off by saying something racist or something. That's what they're worried about. You know, you see all that sexual harassment, all that stuff. That's the videos you got to watch. There's no videos on making sure that you understand how to properly fill out anything to do with detention or getting reimbursed for a lumper. You know, there's no videos about that. You know, that's just a quick little, you know, this is a paragraph in our handbook. This handbook tells you who to grab, who not to grab, but there's nothing in there talking about how you get paid for detention time. You know, there's just one little thing, you know, it's funny. I remember when I first started becoming a truck driver and I got this huge handbook full of all these things of what not to do and what to do and all that. And when it came out to like pay and compensation, you know, it was like 3 pages. This is a 150-page handbook, and how you get paid was only 3 pages, because they're not gonna spell it out specifically, because they need to keep that close to their vest where they can change it whenever they want to. And you got to watch out for that. Always know that if anybody has more money than you, they're always gonna make sure that the contract that you have, whether you get compensated, is always going to benefit them. And that's always going to be. So if you think you're getting a pretty good deal, then, you know, by all means, go right at it. But if you think you're getting screwed, you probably are. And like Forrest Gump always says, that's all I got to say about that. But yeah, just always remember the detention time. I don't know any ways of fixing it other than we just got to demand it. And you got to just stop doing the freight. Stop handling the freight. Stop doing it. If they come across saying, you know, I mean, it's one of those things. Happens once, shame on me. Happens twice, shame on you. We got to see these customers that don't pay detention and just don't do it. Now, there might be trucking companies that haul for a customer and they get paid attention. But this other company doesn't get paid attention because they didn't negotiate the contract right. So you might see that, but guess what? The company that doesn't get paid attention, stop doing it. Just stop. If your contract says that you don't get paid attention, you know, or you don't get compensated in any other way, you know, I mean, just stop. Now, a lot of owner-operators, I know them out there, they'll tell you. Some of the places they go to, they don't get paid attention. That doesn't mean that's not a good deal. Some of them they go to, I never get held up. Always in and out in an hour. Always in and out in 30 minutes. Never had to worry about detention. Others will tell you the rate that I get paid per mile more than adequately qualifies, you know, takes the cake. So if I'm there for 2 hours, paid $350, $450, $5 a mile, that's okay. And they'll tell you that. So a lot of the owner-operators that have their own authority, that negotiate their own deals, or anybody that's leased to a carrier that negotiates their own rates, they'll tell you that. This is how I negotiated. I got more rate, or I got a bigger fuel surcharge, and there's no detention time. But, like I said, not there that long and all that stuff. But that's what I like about the freedoms that we have in truck driving, is everybody's able to do what they want to do their own way. If you start getting the government involved, where they're going to say, oh, we need to demand that truck drivers get paid detention time or overtime or whatever. See, that's where it's going to get bad. It's going to get bad. You watch. Okay? And, you know, I can talk about this all day long because, like I said, I want the government to stay out of it. But I want us, truck drivers, I want us to do better. I want us to stop doing the bad stuff. Stop taking the bad deal. And, you know, like I said, this whole show is revolved around that, is to stop taking those bad deals. And, you know, like I said, we'll dive in. C.H. Robinson was on Fox Business earlier this week. And I got a few things to say about that. And, of course, that falls right in line with, you know, who's negotiating these deals. And we'll find out about that. So other than that, we're just going to keep rocking and rolling here. And, I don't know. It's just we're having a great time, and I really do like everything that we're doing out here with Redneck and I's Radio and all that good stuff. My computers aren't operating good enough for me. There we go. That's what it was. We were fixing to lose battery power. But yeah, so I'm having a great time doing this. I hope everybody is too. We, like I said, we normally get out the truck stops at the truck show and set up and serve food to everybody and, you know, have a great time out there. And since the pandemic and everything got canceled, we were like, hey, we need to do something out here. We need to set things up to help people out. So we got online and started doing this Redneck and I's Radio, thanks to Unplug Radio Network and Taylor Barker Music and all those guys out there helping us out. And we've been having a great time. And our YouTube channel, everybody go there and subscribe to that. It's been great having a lot of fun doing that. It's been awesome. And a lot of success getting the word out there, talking to four-wheelers on how to drive around big trucks, things like that. So we hope everybody's having a great time doing that too. And we're just rocking right along here. I was going to keep things going. Let's see what we got. And yeah, we'll just go this way right here. Maybe not. There we go. All right, good deal. So everybody just kind of rocking right along here. And don't forget, like I said, go check out our website, redneckandeyes.com. I'd like to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com. They're the ones that they clean and service all of the particulate filters that you got out there for those newer trucks. And they got the parts, too. If you need to get, you know, the charge air coolers and SCR units and all that stuff, they got all that stuff, too. So you can check them out. Like I said, dpfregeneration.com. And make sure that when you talk to them, you tell them you appreciate them supporting Redneck and Eyes, because we really do appreciate them. But we're just kind of rocking and rolling here. Like I said, stay tuned. We got more to talk about. And we're just like I said, keep between the ditches. Redneck and I's Radio.
Cause that old purple Peterbilt looks so good, it makes him feel so proud of it. Some drivers call him Sissy Man, but he don't let it get to him, he'll shout it. He drives a royal purple Peterbilt, and he don't care how people feel about it. Yeah. Now he could have a green one, although he's never seen one that looks as good as what he's got right now. Black might look more manly, or red like Christmas candy might help his clearance lights and chrome stand out. Then maybe that would be enough to end the jokes about his truck from all his friends. But he'll live with the teasing, cause he ain't out for pleasing no one but him. He drives a royal purple Peterbilt, and he don't care how people feel about it. Cause that royal purple Peterbilt looks so good, it makes him feel so proud of it. Some drivers call him Sissy Man, but he don't let it get to him, he'll shout it. He drives a royal purple Peterbilt, and he don't care how people feel about it. You know, there's a lot of truck drivers out there on the road, and just like Johnny, a purple truck is their second home. And they'll be the first to tell you, son, you better leave old Johnny alone. He drives a royal purple Peterbilt, and he don't care how people feel about it. Cause that royal purple Peterbilt looks so good, it makes him feel so proud of it. Some drivers call him Sissy Man, but he don't let it get to him, he'll shout it. He drives a royal purple Peterbilt, and he don't care how people feel about it. Yeah, he drives a royal purple Peterbilt, and he don't care how people feel about it. It takes a real man to have a guts to drive a purple truck like that. Hey, don't make fun of that purple truck. Just look at them lime green ones. I wouldn't make fun of that banana looking yellow truck over there.
Let me thank Trucker Tools for helping us out and supporting our messages. Trucker Tools is an all-in-one app for truckers and their business. The Trucker Tools app was built from feedback from real drivers and is always being updated to better assist drivers in saving time, running more efficiently, and making more money. Check out their website at truckertools.com. That's Trucker Tools, the app for truckers.
Give you a ring, but each time we talk, I get the same old thing. Always no hooky, no dizzy, until I get a wedding ring. My honey, my baby, don't put my love upon no shelf. She said, don't give me no lines and keep your hands to yourself.
All right, hey, welcome back. Hey, this is it with Redneck and I's Radio coming at you. We are live here every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. You can check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Make sure you just give us a call, 516-387-1733. Be part of the conversation, just hit one. Oh, let me reach over here. All right, good deal. All right, one-man show over here. Let's get it on. So we were just keeping on talking about detention time and, of course, just compensation, drivers getting paid, right, and all that. And like I said, I just want to reiterate what the bottom line is I don't want the government telling us, you know, about all these controls. I want drivers to be able to make their own decisions. But the problem is we keep making wrong decisions. You know, we need to stop taking stuff that doesn't compensate us well. We need to stop doing these deals where we're not getting paid detention time or, you know, any kind of extra fees that you might be due. You know, that needs to be negotiated before you even, you know, open them doors or take that loan confirmation. That all got to get sorted out. And I don't want the government coming in. You know, the problem with the supply chain crisis is now that we're getting all these government agencies involved, and I tell you what, it I don't think it's going to be good for drivers. I don't at all. You know, when the supply chain crisis first came up, you started seeing, you know, pay and rates going up. Well, now this last quarter here in this last month, the rates have kind of leveled off. And what it does is kind of like in the years past, what happened was is they would get there would be a shortage of, like, what happens is the rate would go up. The rates would go up. So then truck drivers would be, like, rampant. Like, new carriers would be, you know, founded or created. New operating authorities and all that stuff. And then what that did was is that made the rates go back down. So then the rates, you know, in the 6 months to a year from that time point, the rates would go down. And then it just so happens that was kind of what the pandemic, we were kind of on a downturn, a downside. Rates were already going down. Because back in like 2000, between 2014, 2017, man, rates were booming. Like it was massive where you could get good pay. And driver pay was going up. And then, but as far as like, you know, owner operator rates, they were up. Well, then it's kind of like the market gets flooded with all these new drivers getting their own authority or becoming owner-operator. The rates kind of just slid back down, flattening out. Well, what happened was the supply chain crisis kind of deal. What happened, it, the pandemic, everything opened back up. So, okay, we need people to come back out. And people weren't. So the rates went up. Well, now people are. They do the same thing. You regular people out there, if you ever know it, even truck drivers don't know this. But Uber and Lyft, they do the same thing in higher market areas. I don't know if you've ever done that where you've ever been to an event, let's say downtown, like downtown Houston or downtown Atlanta or whatever. And you would be kind of on the outskirts of town and you would look up Uber and it would tell you it'd be like $30 or $40 for the ride to get to the event that you need to get to, which is great. You know, that's payable. You know, because it's $20 to park and who knows what can happen and all that. So you say, yeah, that's a good deal. So let's just take the Uber down there and we'll get an Uber back. And then once you get down there and the event's over with, it takes you like an hour to get an Uber. And even when you do, it's like, you know, $100, if not more, depending on, you know, how many vehicles are in the area and how many people are needing the request. They raise the rates like right then and there, boom. And then within an hour, the rates go back down. So you never know, you know, how all that works out, but that's how it is. So that's one of the things we play in the freight market and truck driving. It's like that. It just doesn't happen. You know, I mean, it could happen in a day or whatever, but it just doesn't. And you see the rates fluctuate over time and all that. And that's as long as the government stays out of the way. You can see that. I mean, one of the arguments is with this so-called supply chain crisis, you've got the only really problems you got is the California ports, Long Beach and L.A. port. Those are the only two problems. Everybody else is moving freight. The only problem is that those are the biggest, and they get the most traffic because it comes from China. But, you know, everybody else is kind of moving freight. Now, the only other problems you got, of course, one guy said when I was listening to a report the other day, is that the other people that are having a hard time getting workers is those factories and warehouses or shipping docks out in like Thailand, Hong Kong, you know, those areas where they're shipping a lot of freight. And those companies are still not open fully for, you know, the COVID. And they're requiring vaccinations. And of course, the vaccinations in those other countries, they're not as available as they are here in the United States. So they're having a hard time getting workers back to work because of all that, those rules. And, you know, you can say that's kind of a man-made crisis too, where they, you know, there's no need to do all that stuff. When you need 20-something people to go back to work, the last thing you need to worry about is their vaccination for COVID, because they're not, you know. Unless you're the 75-year-old owner of the company, stay away from them if you're not vaccinated. You know, that kind of deal. But other than that, let's get back to work. Come on now. But everybody says they're hurting. There was a Total Transportation. Yeah, he had some funny things to say. Here you go.
It's the worst that I have ever seen.
How many tractors do you have parked here because there's not a driver to fill it?
We have 910 tractors total in our fleet, and today we're sitting at this, as of this morning, we were 47 open.
All right, so that was the CEO of Total Transportation out of Mississippi. And when he said that, I'm like, that's not a big deal at all. If he can't handle 47 trucks being empty, he's got a problem. Okay, he's got a problem. He got way too much other things going on than driver shortage. Okay? That's what, about 5% of the fleet? And that's not a lot. Okay? I was in charge of assigning trucks and upgrading students for Swift Transportation back in early 2000s. And at the Dallas terminal, we had over 500 trucks. There would be some times where we'd have 20, 25 trucks sitting empty. Now, granted, everybody started laughing. Half of them were in the shop, but they were empty. And sometimes, I mean, if we got below 10, if we had, you know, 8 trucks sitting available, I mean, every week we had 20 or 30 students upgrading just in that terminal, but we'd also be losing that many. And that, you know, and you can say that's a different issue. And you know, yeah, we can say there's a rollover thing, but you know, those drivers we were losing, they weren't quitting. They were getting fired. Okay. So, you know, we have a lot of issues like that, and that's another show altogether. But he says that he's short drivers and he's got 47 trucks sitting empty. And he said that's the worst he's ever seen it. I tell you what, he's got problems, because that's not a lot. That's not a lot at all. Let's talk to some drivers out there, some owner-operators that have got 10 trucks and 3 of them are sitting empty. That's a problem. You know, he's got issues because that's 30% of his fleet. Okay? So, you know, just on different scales, that's just amazing to me that he can't handle 47 trucks sitting empty. To me, it would be normal for his 900 and something truck fleet to have 100 trucks empty. That would be normal to me. You know, so maybe Total's doing something different I don't know about. Maybe they do always keep their drivers moving or whatever. I don't know. But as a truck fleet that size, and he's got only 47 short, then there's something going on there. He's got a lot of overhead. He's got a lot of expenses where he needs them trucks moving. And hey, that's great. Let's keep them trucks moving. But my question is to that CEO, my question that these reporters aren't asking is how many drivers, how many CDL holders are applying to go to work for you? How many are applying, and how many are you not hiring? That's what I want to know. Because, see, they claim there's a driver shortage. They claim that there's not enough people, not enough workers. But I don't see that. I see people applying for jobs as truck drivers, whether they have no experience, whether they have tons of experience. You know, I mean, they even accept applications for people that don't even have CDLs. And they said, we'll send you to school. So if they're getting those applicants that don't even have their CDL, how many are applying that do have CDLs? I guarantee you it's a high number. And that boils down to, well, who's not getting hired? Who are these people not getting hired? And what that explains, what I would tell everybody is that there is – well, that's weird. Something just messed up. I don't know if anybody can still hear me over there. But maybe, hang on. Yeah, there we go. The system was just acting weird. Go back over here. Good deal. Okay. So what that just explains to me about, like you're saying, not getting hired. Who's not getting hired? And this is what I tell a lot of people, is that there are a lot of CDL holders, truck drivers with experience, that are not getting hired. There's a reason. And it's because truck drivers are a certain type of people. And it's not bad. Don't even start to think that it's a bad deal. What it is that it's kind of like how my friend Greg always talks about how they need people out here to do the work. And a lot of times these people that are in these offices, well, they don't know how to deal with the kind of people like we are out here that actually do the work. They have no idea what that entails. So what they do is you've got to go out and find these people that are willing to get out there and do the work. Okay. When you go, if you live in this big fancy apartment building and you've never dug any holes and you need a hole dug, ain't nobody in that apartment building going to be able to dig that hole. Okay. You need to find somebody that's dug a hole. Now, if you go out there and find somebody that's got dirty fingernails and knows how to dig a hole, they're not going to act like you. They're going to be different. Okay. And that's the problem that we're having with the trucking. Okay. You've got a certain type of person that's willing to do the job and they want to be paid a certain way. And you got this other people over here saying, I need somebody to do that job, but I can only pay them a certain amount. I can't pay them. I can't pay them like they want to be paid. Okay. And then they say, but if I am going to have to pay them what they want to be paid, I want them to act a certain way. You're not going to get that. Okay. You're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. And you know, I can already hear it right now. People saying, well, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? I'm just talking about how when, you know, certain things people talk about, certain things people say, certain things people like to, you know, I mean, it's kind of like just basically like anybody that eats fast food, you know, some people say anybody eats fast food, that's crazy. Fast food's nasty. Well, a lot of truckers out there like a lot of fast food. It's good. Okay. And they like it. So if you want somebody that's going to get out there and do the work and not take an hour and a half lunch, then you need to have them willing to eat fast food. And you need to pay them the right way, like they want to be paid. And that's what it boils down to, is you get a certain type of person that's willing to do the job and wants to get paid a certain way. And there's other people over there going, okay, now I'll pay you that, but I want you to dress a certain way, look a certain way, act a certain way. And there is this, like, it's a bridge that cannot be finished. It cannot be supported, rather. It can't be met, because there's just so much pull from either side that nobody's willing to pay a little bit more. And most of the truck drivers, they're not willing. Well, some of them just can't. You can't do it. Okay. The job's got to be done a certain way. You can't tell us to do it the way you want to do it. It's got to be done the way we know how to do it. You see a lot of carriers out there, they do that. They say, okay, listen, as long as you show up, as long as you don't, you know, break any laws, as long as you abide by the rules that we set, as far as, you know, looking a certain way, dressing a certain way, as long as you abide by those rules, and they're very small, I'll pay you what you want to get paid. And there are several drivers that reach out and say, I'll do those things. I'll set that standard. And they do it. Doesn't mean everybody's going to do that. Doesn't mean every carrier can do that. Doesn't mean every driver is going to do that. So you just have to do that. And that's what it boils down to. So that's That's kind of how I see it. I see it as it's not a driver shortage, and I've said before, like, a good driver shortage, but it's basically just it's a good driver and good carrier shortage. There's just not enough carriers out there willing to pay drivers, and there's not enough drivers that carriers can trust. And there's a lot of applicants, a lot of jobs being applied for. The criteria isn't being met. So, like, to that CEO for Total Transportation, I'd like to ask them, how many people are applying? You know, I've even got another company here says they're looking for people. And I'll just say, how many are applying and how many are you not hiring? And are you willing? What are you willing to do as a carrier? And I ask the driver the same way. What are you willing to do? If you're one of those drivers that has a hard time getting a job, maybe because, you know, they tell you you can't wear your cowboy hat and you're like, I got to wear my cowboy hat, you know, or maybe it's you know, they say, no, you got to live in this city. You can't live in that city. You got to move. You know, maybe something like that, you know, maybe it's because, you know, we sent you to the doctor to get a physical and the doctor said that you can't pass a physical for 2 years. You got to only pass a physical for 6 months, you know, or maybe it's because the doctor thought you might be having some health issues. So they had you, you know, take a test and you failed that test or whatever. You know, there's a lot of drivers out there that say they've been driving truck for 20 years. And they have to do, I forgot what they called it, but it's like, you know, not just a physical, but an actual, like, you know, work requirement test where you got to lift a certain amount of feet or carry stuff a certain amount of distance or whatever. And they can't do it. They can't do the test. So I've been driving truck for 15 years. And I never had to do that before. And it's like, well, the company is trying to cover their butt to prevent you from getting hurt. And maybe some choices you got to make. Maybe you got to change the way you eat. Maybe you got to change the way you exercise. Maybe you got to change, maybe you just got to start exercising, you know, things like that, you know, like I said, what it boils down to is I mean, I've been there and seen it where drivers live out in the middle of nowhere. You know, they live 2-3 hours away from the nearest big city and they get upgraded and they say, hey, I want a local job. Are you going to move? Well, no. I want a local job where I live. Ain't going to happen. Not when you live out in the sticks. Ain't going to happen unless you find somebody out there. But you went to work for this huge company, and they don't work in these little small areas like that. So you got to work over the road or nothing at all. Things like that happen. So you got to be willing to take those. And, you know, maybe you can't work for a certain company, but you can work for another company. You never know. So a lot of those things is what I always see. So, let's see. Let's go to the phones. I think I know who this is. I'm not real sure. Hey, what's going on, bud?
Am I live?
You're live, man. What's going on?
All right. Hey, this is Jeff.
Yeah.
On that truck shortage thing, you know, as I drive by these terminals, like for Werner and Creek Carriers, they got a lot of trucks on the ground. So I really do believe that for the big companies that are trying to hire a lot of drivers because they need a lot of drivers, I think there may be a truck shortage. I remember back when I was in driving school, I don't know, 15 years ago, we had started out with like, I don't know, like 30, 40 people. And we all had to get drug tested. And when the drug test came back, about 15 of them didn't qualify because within the last 29 days, they smoked marijuana. That threw them out, you know, and they go,
yep.
Well, golly, I don't know. 29 days ago, I smoked. Or I was at a party 2 weeks ago, and I didn't smoke any, but I was around it. Well, secondhand smoke, you know, that still will show on a drug test. So I really think as the states are passing the legalized marijuana, that younger generation, or I ain't going to say just younger generation, but there's more and more people that said, well, shoot, it's legal in my state. And then they go applying for a truck job, and they can't qualify because as truckers, we can't partake.
Yeah, they did that in Denver, in Colorado. They did the same thing. They're like, hey, what do you mean? It's legal. And it's like, no, not to the federal government.
Well, no, you know, and there's, there's getting to be more and more and more states that marijuana is legal.
Right.
You know,
right.
And my son is saying, he says, well, the feds will legalize it someday. I says, well, they may legalize it someday, but that doesn't make, you know, professions say it's still okay to work for you, you know.
That's true. Yeah.
The feds could legalize marijuana and still say truckers can't do it. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, right. And that might be the contributor factor to, you know, why there's not enough people applying for truck driver jobs if there is truly a driver shortage, or they're saying there's not enough young people. You know, it's the average age is in the high 50s. Well, yeah, because the generations are more, they're more into the, you know, partaking on a
sure.
You know, on a weekend or whatever, and that excludes them and all that. But, you know, hey, sometimes you got to watch out when you drive by there and you see these companies, they've got these trucks sitting there. You might have just caught them on a big delivery where they had like a bunch
of
new
trucks. I understand that.
Yeah. But I tell you what, I still think that there's probably more people applying. They're just not hiring. Because that certain criteria.
They're not qualifying.
Well, that's, yeah,
you know.
Just like you're saying. But they said, I mean, just like I said before, they're not qualifying to work for that carrier, but that carrier probably has pretty high standards that they want to be met, you know, that they're just not getting. They're not getting, you know, they may have these high standards, but until they pay more, they're not going to get those high standard drivers, you know.
Well, not only that, but a lot of people don't realize that truck driving jobs, you know, it's based on your driving record. And you could have tickets and your personal record, and, you know, there's a lot of companies don't want to bring you on if you're a speeder in your car. They don't want to bring you on in their truck with a, you know, a lot of people don't realize the safety scores is a different, you know, all these different things that go into professional truck driving anymore. And safety scores is based on, you know, infractions on safety.
Well, that's, yeah,
so you got a lot of tickets.
No, what I was going to say that's one of the big factors that we see is that it's not the government that says that the driver can't drive. It's just the company. They won't hire you if you have tickets or have a
right.
You know, a checkered past like that. And you know, the funny thing about it is that most people don't even realize it. Most people don't even realize if a truck driver got a speeding ticket, like a regular person gets a speeding ticket, that truck driver cannot fight that ticket like that regular driver can. A regular car driver, non-CDL holder, can go online, take care of it online, watch a little video, you know, and even like say, okay, I'll pay the fine or take the class or whatever, and it's okay. You can't do that with a CDL. CDLs, most states have those as restricted from doing that. That you actually have.
Well, for example,
go ahead.
I got a speeding ticket in my car, and my hometown. I went and talked to the city attorney. Oh, no problem, Jeff. You know, you got a good record. It's the first time.
Oh, yeah.
We'll just take it off. We eliminate it. I said, all I need is your driver's license. I handed her my driver's license, and she goes, oh, you got a CDL. Yeah. Oh, I can't do nothing about it. Can't do nothing about it. She is willing to drop it completely off my record, but I'm a CDL holder. No, you can't do that.
Yep. That's right. Yeah. The same. And the funny thing is, a lot of times, the police officer that's writing the ticket, they have your driver's license in their hand, and they're writing your ticket, and they're telling you, oh, it's no big deal. You just go online and all this. I said, dude, look right there where it says class A, CDL. You do not understand what that means. And a lot of them don't. Even the police officers that are writing the ticket don't even know that. They don't even know that. They'll just do it. You know, they just say, oh, it's no big deal. There's no points. It's just a warning. No, warnings in trucking is a whole lot different than warnings for everybody else.
Amen.
But But yeah, you know, that is a big thing. I think maybe, you know, a lot of carriers, and maybe the government needs to get involved and say, hey, you know, we need to stop doing that. And of course, I'd like that because, you know, that gets the government out of the job of picking and choosing. But what I think a company's probably should start doing is, I don't know, I thought about this and I'm like, they probably couldn't do it because of certain discrimination laws. But let's say you pay real good and you say, hey, listen, I can't pay you the rate that everybody else is getting paid because you've got a lot of tickets, but I will hire you for, you know, a nickel less per mile, or a dime, you know, I pay you 10 cents less for the first 6 months or his first year. And if you go through the whole year without having any tickets, then I'll bring you on full rate, or you can only work part time or something. Maybe the carrier can do something like that to give the driver a chance to redeem himself. Cause you know, we've seen it. You've seen it. You have certain accidents, and you'll never drive a truck again for somebody. You'll never have a job.
Right.
You know, so if, yeah.
If the company is self-insured, they could probably get away with that.
Yeah.
If the company is not self-insured, they probably could not get away with that.
Yep. We talked about that before. Insurance got a lot of problems. But I thought maybe that somebody would find out and they'd say, well, so what boils down to is that you might couldn't pay anybody less for having a checkered past, but if somebody is really, you know, I always thought about this, like what is an actual a driver recruiter, what are they supposed to be doing? And it's kind of like, you know what, a recruiter should be doing the job of recruiting people, which means that you go and you talk to them and you get them to come to work for you. Well, maybe you ought to go talk to some of these really good drivers that have really good records, and you ought to tell them, listen, what will it take for you to come work for me? You know, kind of like the NFL right. draft, you know, what's it going to take for you to come work for me? Cause you've got a really good driving record. You know, you've got a really good work history. You're a good employee. What's it going to take? You know, maybe they got to start, you know, everybody's talking about equal pay and how women aren't getting paid very well. Well, that's only in those bigger jobs and for doctors and lawyers and trucking, everybody's pretty much paid the same on a company side, you know, and it all depends on your negotiating package. But as far as equal pay goes down, everybody's getting paid the same down here, and it kind of sucks.
Yeah. I thought it was funny to talk about recruiters. I talked to a guy the other day, and they went to apply at CRST Trucking.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they recruit, they'll recruit. They don't ask any questions. They'll bring in as many people as they can get across the line, and it's kind of like throwing mud at a wall. They'll throw them all against the wall, and then depending on their on their backgrounds and their drugs and whatever else, and see which sticks. You know, it's funny. They really have no requirements.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you got to be breathing. You got to have a driver's license.
Well, they're the ones that have the extra bunk. I don't know if you've seen the videos on that where they've got two bunks. They got three beds total in the truck.
Yeah.
They got the two in the back, and then they put one above the driver's head.
I asked them, I said, so once you get hired, you got hired with them, what's your training consist of? And they said, well, we spend 3 days in the classroom. We spend 3 days on the road course, on the parking lot. We spend 2 days driving around the city of Cedar Rapids. And then they put three of us on the road, and we're supposed to kind of teach ourselves.
There you go.
That's it.
And what a lot of people don't understand is a lot of people don't understand that, you know, a lot of these truck drivers out there, they're classified as trainees or students that are learning how to drive. According to the government, they can drive. They got a CDL.
Yeah, as long as they get their CDL, they're done. They're good.
Yeah, but you put them in these trucks, they don't know what they're doing, you know. I mean, it is crazy how that is, but yeah. But
I was surprised to hear you work for Swift. Do they actually teach how to back at Swift?
They did when I went there, but You know, that's the other thing too. I was lucky. I think I got, I had a good guy that actually cared. We actually spent some time. You know, what you don't see a lot of is a lot of the trainers. I think nowadays they probably get paid, but back when I went, you didn't get paid unless you were getting paid by the mile. So to have a trainer actually spend some time with you to help you learn, and they weren't getting paid, you know, because you only get paid by the mile. So to have them spend some extra time with you in parking lots or whatever, or allow you to do whatever you need to do, you know, now I think I was lucky doing that, and I hope that I did that as the best I could. You know, some people needed help, extra help, some people didn't, and I was lucky though. I learned how to drive in the military actually, so I didn't have a CDL and I didn't have any experience. So when I went in, I had to go in as a, you know, as a fresh student, but I already knew how to drive because I was in the military. That's where I learned how to drive. The only thing I didn't do too well at, I had to, you know, you have to learn. We do it all the time now. We have to readjust when we haul like a 53-foot trailer or a 40-foot trailer. The backing's different. When we haul an extended sleeper or a day cab, the backing's different. So you have to learn how to adjust to that stuff, you know, and that's probably one of the biggest things I had to adjust to, because everything in the military was all day cabs, you know, so it wasn't, and we didn't pull any vans, we pulled all flatbeds, so it was one of those things where you had to learn to do the van where you couldn't see, you know, and of course, a day cab, you had the back window. I mean, there were guys in the military, I remember when they were backing up like they were backing up their Honda. You know, they'd reach out there, yeah, and put their hand on the passenger seat and look out that back window in that day cab. And with a flatbed, that's not a big deal. You can see everywhere.
yeah.
Yep. But
I always wondered how much they trained on that, because, you know, the most of the accidents you see in that are backing with a lot of these young companies.
Well, that's across the board. I think I remember back in like,
yeah,
2003, 2004, the Transportation Safety Board, you know, the people that do all the accident studies, they said like 53% of all the accidents in trucking were backing. So
I believe
more
that.
Than half, all backing. And that's what it boils down to. You see drivers out there getting fired because they had 3 backing accidents within 6 months. So it wasn't even that they tore anything up that much. They just, you know, you banged into a pole, they reported it. You banged into into the side of a building and reported it. You know, you drove off into the grass, you reported it. Well, next thing you know, you're fired. You know, and you talk about driver shortage and being qualified. That's what it is. It's sometimes the guys that are goody-goodies that call in everything they do, they're the ones getting fired because they're calling in everything they do.
Well, let me ask you this, and maybe you know, maybe you don't. They used to have a deal called the deck or something like that, that whatever you did with one company, it would go on this deck reporting or doc or whatever they called it.
Yeah,
that if you went to work for another company, it would follow you. They could go with that deck. Now, yeah, with Freedom and the Protection Act and all that, is that still available to companies?
I think so. It's DAC. It's the DAQ. DAC report. Nope, DAC. DAC.
Yeah.
DAC. Employment History File. DAC. And it's hireright.com. So hire, like H-I-R-E.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Hireright.com was the name of it. Yeah. Is that still in business, or with the Privacy Protection Act now? Is that going away?
Well, no, because what it is actually it compiles. Like, as long as they've had – so you know how when you go apply for a job, I don't know if the last time you applied for a job, but you always remember that they ask you – they even ask you when you go renew your CDL or anything, have you – your driver's license number for the state you're in, and if you've had a different license from a different state in the last 5 or 10 years, they want to know that. They want to know any ID numbers from those states. And you say, yeah, I had one in Georgia or I had one in Tennessee or whatever back in – so long or whatever. And what they do is that's what they do. The higher right, it goes off of, and basically it's just, it's not necessarily a, privacy thing. The company says we fired that driver for violating a company policy. And the only things that get reported to DOT is if you fail a drug test, that has to get reported to DOT. So if they pull you in for a random and you fail it, it's not like, you know, oh, you failed it, get out of here, don't come back. It's now we have to tell the Department of Transportation that you failed a drug test. So you get thrown into a database that you failed a drug test. And that's why they had a clearinghouse a couple of years ago where what they were doing was is they were trying to get people off the list. And what it said was is that the people would fail the drug test, but they were taking a prescription. And they said, no, it's good, I'm good. Well, then go bring us this stuff, and then you'll get taken off the list. Well, they never did. So they were always not able to hire, and they were trying to get people, you know, their CDLs revoked because of that. And that's they had a clearinghouse thing where they said, you know, if you are on this list and you haven't driven in the last 5 years, then your CDL is revoked. You don't have a CDL anymore no matter what, you know, and that kind of thing. So
back when I was doing company driver stuff, I heard about that. But ever since I was an owner-operator, and I've been with now three companies, as an owner-operator, that has never been brought up.
Yeah.
So I don't know if owner-operators are handled different or not. I didn't know.
No, it says here it's got the screening process, and then, of course, it also has to do with the companies that are actually participating, because it might be that a company is not participating in
the
because it is
a
bigger company deal. You know, some companies say, you know what, we're just going to do our own digging, and we'll pull up because like I said, the drug test is for that's DOT. So if we pull your driving record and you failed a drug test, it's going to be on your driving record. If you had an accident, it's on your driving record. The only thing that this hire right, the only thing that this was doing, this report was saying that if you got fired for having accidents, so let's say that you backed into something, well, DOT doesn't know about that because you didn't call the cops. The accident report didn't get filed, so the Department of Transportation or the driver's license, they don't know. But the company says, you backed into too many places, we're not going to let you hire. So they might have reported to this agency, hey, we fired this driver for violating a company policy, and the company policy was backing accidents, you know, or whatever. So if the company you're going to go work for does participate in this, you're going to have to explain that to them. So you need to be, and that's why they always say be truthful, because no matter what, they're going to find out, you know, because then you're going to, and then the companies that other companies that don't participate in this, well, they're just going to say who you work for. And they know who you work for because when they pull your driving record, it shows that you underwent a drug test for this carrier. The DOT knows that because every drug test has to get reported to the Department of Transportation, the FMCSA. So they know, hey, you took a drug test for this company. You know, what was that about? You know, pass or fail doesn't matter. It's that they just know who you went to work for.
As a driver, your safety point score will follow you. Your DOT will follow you, and his right to hire will follow you.
Everything follows you. Yeah, and it's all plugged in. It doesn't matter. I mean, just like you're saying, back in the day, I had a great uncle. He was a truck driver for a really long time. He started driving when he was 14. He passed away just 2 years ago at the age of 84. So I'll just tell you, he would tell stories about how he was in South Carolina driving truck, and he wanted to go work for this one company down in Georgia that paid real good, but they wouldn't hire him unless he was 21 years old, and he was only 19. So he went to Georgia, got a Georgia ID, told them he was 21, and they believed him and gave him a CDL or a driver's license that said he was 21, and he went to work for that company at 19.
Wow.
And that's one of the main reasons why we got those laws now, because you used to just go to a different state and get a different ID, and one state didn't know the other state existed, you know. And that was back when, I said, that was back in the 40s, and tell stories about how he would go when he went to go get his CDL, when they finally passed the CDL, and it was in like 50 something, when the state of South Carolina started doing CDLs, he had to go take a driving test in a big truck. He went to the office, and the lady said, "All right, let's go. Where's the truck at?" He goes, "Parked across the street in the grocery store parking lot." So they walked across the street, and he said, "Which one's yours?" Because there's two or three there. And he goes, "That one over there hooked to the tanker." And it was a tank of gasoline. And the lady's like, "Oh, no." like they were like, "No, we ain't getting in that truck with all that gasoline." And it's like, man. But yeah.
So they just passed him.
No, I think they told him, go get another trailer.
Because,
you know, he was one of those where his father, my great-grandfather, they owned a paper mill, and they drove truck to haul the logs from the lumber, you know, to haul the lumber and to haul the logs from the mill over to the, you know, or from the forest to the
right.
mill, and they owned the truck, and he would drive the truck. So, and then when paper mill was slow, or they didn't need him, he'd just run whatever he could find, you know. So yeah.
Hmm.
So yeah, but you know, it's one of those things where we see that now. We see how things used to be. It wasn't that bad, and then a lot of states started regulating it, so they had, you know, the interstate commerce and all that where it was heavily regulated, and then we deregulated, and now it's kinda gone back to the way it was where you can kinda just do what you want to do as long as you know, fulfill these certain criteria. But as drivers, like I said, that DAC report's gonna follow you. Even if the company doesn't participate in that report, DOT has all the information, and then, you know, they're just going to call around. A lot of these companies, we were talking about not hiring drivers in the work history. So what they're going to say is, okay, since you graduated high school, I mean, like, I've even gotten asked, like, okay, how long have you worked for this company, then this company? Okay, so I started working for this company in January of, you know, 2012, and I stopped working for them in July of 2015. They go, okay, so what did you do July 2015? What'd you do? They go, well, I took 6 months off. They don't like that. They said, what'd you do? They want you to be doing something. You sat on your ass 6 months. You go, yeah. They go, bullshit. That's what they say. they don't even mess with it. They say there's a gap in your work history. We're not going to touch it. That's what they're going to do. So let's say that you went to work for somebody for 6 months, and you don't want to tell them that that's who you work for, you know, whether it be the cartel or some company that you didn't get along with, they're not going to touch it. Gap in your work history, they're not going to touch it. But yep.
But on the, you know, I keep thinking on the, you keep talking about truck shortage. They've been saying that there's a trucker shortage for the last 15 years.
Well, yeah, that's what we always, that's why we say it's such bull crap, because there's always been a truck shortage. So, you know, like I'm saying, there's plenty of people driving. There's just not, they want a certain type of driver for a certain type of rate, and that doesn't exist anymore.
As the industry has changed, they've eliminated drivers. I remember the ELDs came out. Man, I lost four or five of my friends that was on the roads. I ain't doing that. I ain't going to go out and buy an old truck just so I can do that, and I ain't going to do that. I just ain't going to do it. So they quit, got out of it, retired. You know, and a lot of our truckers are older, and they're retiring. You know, and the young guys, you know, you got to laugh that they can't even keep the restaurants open anymore because they can't hire anybody, you know?
Right.
And you don't need a whole lot of skill to flip burgers. You know, you need some skill as a truck driver. I've always said you don't have to be smart to be a truck driver, but you got to have a lot of good common sense to be a truck driver. You know, but they can't even get people to fill regular jobs, let alone a skilled job like a truck driver.
That's what I'm saying. I do think it is a like type of person. So they keep saying, now you're talking about trucker shortage. So they keep saying that there's 80,000 they need 80,000. So I looked it up, and according to who is this? I mean, this is just Google. It says 3.5 million truck drivers in the United States. And then you say they're short 80,000. Well, that's 2.3%. That's what that is. They're short. 2.3% is what they're short, if they are short drivers. 2%. So to me, that's not a shortage. I don't think that's a shortage.
Well,
I don't know.
But I guess I look at it this way. They've been preaching it for 15 years now, a shortage of drivers. And if you don't put a real push on it now to get the ones in school, because like I say, I wish there was a statistic on how many people that apply to become a truck driver that become a truck driver. Because I remember when I was a trainer with Werner, I would get a student in my truck, and they would go for, you know, they'd get through everything else, the school, everything else, and then they had to come in the truck and really see what life was like on the road. And I bet every other one of them said, oh, this ain't for me, you know, staying out every night, eating at restaurants, showering away. You know, and it takes a special type of a man or a woman to do what we do out here.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? I want to talk more about that, because I've got a little interesting clip. Hang on a second. Let me get off to this guy over here.
Keep putting on hold if you want to.
Well, I'm going to take a little break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about that, what you're talking about, over the road truck driving. Hang on a second.
All right.
Billy, man, come on. 6 o'clock news says somebody been shot. Somebody's been abused. Somebody blew up a building. Somebody stole a car. Somebody got away. Somebody didn't get too far. Yeah, they didn't get too far. Grandpappy told my pappy back in my day song, a man had to answer for the wicked that he done. Take all the rope in Texas, find a tall old tree, round up all of them bad boys, hang them high in the street for all the people to see. That justice is one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your boys, you gotta...
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneckinize. Redneckinize, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Hey, welcome back. This is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio coming at you. Be sure to call in 516-387-1733. We're live every Sunday evening, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. Be sure to check out our website, redneckandeyes.com. And don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We really appreciate that. And hope everybody's enjoying it out there, listening along. And like I said, if you want to chime in, just press 1 on the phone there and be part of the conversation. So we were talking with Jeff here, and we were talking about driver shortage. And I always thought it was interesting. The CEO of C.H. Robinson was on Fox Business. And I thought what he had to say was pretty interesting about many things. And one of them was truck pay.
Well, I mean, professional truck drivers, depending on how they drive, if they're owner-operators or if they're company drivers, if they drive single or drive team, that wage really, really varies. But I'd say if you think about kind of the mid-$50,000 range, that's kind of probably a good average.
So I thought that was weird that a good average for a truck driver pay is $50,000. And I thought to myself that if that's average, then that's the problem right there is that if that's who's getting paid less than that. If you're getting paid less than $50,000 as a truck driver, then that's a problem. So I'll bring Jeff on and see you. So Jeff, did you hear that what the C.H. Robinson CEO said, that the average truck pay is about $50,000? I thought that was kind of low. That would be the average.
Well, I'd say there you got to consider the source.
Yeah, there you go.
C.H. Robinson is one of them cut rate brokers take 75% of the pay and give the driver the crumbs. So he would like to put that out there. But
yeah,
that's just C.H. Robinson. But I do believe that there's companies that are hiring over-the-road drivers starting pay at 26 cents a mile.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I was going to boil down to was that, you know, what we saw at the beginning when I first started truck driving was that if you were working local or if you were working dedicated to something where you were home weekends or home at night, you might be paid a little bit more. And that was because you were in. But to me, I think that that's the reason why you've got a shortage is that over the road just doesn't pay. You know, they want that driver to sit there at that truck stop and just say, where to next? And they're not willing to pay it. You know,
started driving Werner, I got paid 23 cents a mile.
Mm-hmm.
And if I wanted to make more money after 6 months, I could become a trainer. And then
that's
I could bring on a student driver, and they would pay me an extra 23 cents a mile, and then pay that trainee, $200 a week to ride along and learn.
Yep. It's crazy. I tell you what, I just think that over-the-road drivers should be making a whole lot more. And I think we got perfect people to chime in on that. And let's see what we got here. Is my computer not working right now?
Well, you pay your dues, you get paid more.
Yep. I think this who's this here? Is this our old faithful?
Let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon. There you go.
How's it going, Ed?
Man, I'm tell you what, doing all right. Got a few things going. Did some prepping for the show this time around instead of just flying by the seat of my pants. And I'm pretty excited because there's a lot to talk about. You know, we had the CEO of C.H. Robinson come on there and start spewing a bunch of crap about how what they're doing. And I even shared it on our Facebook page because the funny thing is we know C.H. Robinson, they don't touch any freight. And, man, they're making a lot of money in the freight business, but they don't have anything to do with hauling freight.
Well, yeah, I agree with Jeff. C.H. Robinson's been, you know, they've been shysters for a lot of years and they'll never change.
Yeah.
C.H. Robinson worldwide. Anything that you give somebody that's worldwide, you know they're up to no good.
There you go. Yeah. I remember.
There's another company out there that's almost just as bad that we all know and love. But I'm not going to mention no names.
Well, I might mention them just because my story relates to them. I was an owner operator with Landstar, and I would get a book of load on their board, on the load board, the load board that Landstar created. I would book a load, and it would be an agent that worked for Landstar as an agent, and I'd book that load. And I thought, you know what, I'm getting paid a pretty good rate on that load there. I thought I was getting paid a pretty good rate. And then he sends me the load confirmation, and guess what letterhead is on that load confirmation? C.H. Robinson.
C.H. Robinson.
Yeah, which means that customer, the shipper that I'm going to, the guy that I'm going to go there and pick up the load and get the bill lading from, and that his product didn't ship it, he is paying out the ass to haul that freight, and I'm getting the crumbs.
Yep.
Because everybody's touching that. Not only did Landstar get their cut, and the agent that booked the load through Landstar get his cut, but you know C.H. Robinson's getting their cut, and hell, they're probably giving another cut to somebody else.
Am I right or wrong when I say this, but wasn't there used to be a regulation or a rule that you could not, it was against the law to double broker?
Oh, well, that's the thing, is they get around all that because, you know, it's kind of like how Swift does it. Swift and Schneider and all those guys, they say, well, we're Swift the carrier. We're not Swift the broker. Swift the broker over here booked freight and then contracted with Swift the carrier. And then Swift the carrier brokered their, or well, they technically didn't broker it, but they gave it to one of their owner-operators.
When Jeff was talking about skilled, you know, how many of us skilled, something years ago that didn't they say that we was classified as unskilled labor?
Yeah, that's I forgot who did that. So maybe Labor Relations Board might have did that. I don't know.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. We're unskilled labor. That's why we're making a fair wage. They said that if it come down to it, we wanted to get paid hourly rather than the way we're getting paid, that they could pay us minimum wage because we are classified as unskilled labor. So take that for what it is.
Yeah. So Overdrive Magazine looks like they did back in 2018. It says truckers are classified as unskilled labor, ? And it says nope. It says if I've heard it once, I've heard a thousand times, that back and forth commentary over this and that issue is centered or issue compensated the driver depart. If the Department of Labor didn't classify as unskilled labor, typically that's just the video here, folks, Truck Nation, some YouTube video. I don't know how to dig into that. It says after exhaustive research and speaking representatives from three different government agencies, Truck Nation has confirmed that truck drivers are not classified as unskilled labor. Well, okay, but I mean, I don't know, I have to dig into that and see what that says, but I agree with you. That's what I've always heard.
I guess I just got to try a little harder. One of these days, maybe I'll get it figured out and I'll be good enough to be classified as skilled labor.
Well, what I was going to say, just like this thing here, it says we're not classified as unskilled labor, and it's just like your whole thing. Prove me wrong.
Well,
I think they probably changed that now. Now that our level of leadership is also unskilled, maybe we're on an equal playing field now.
Well, that would be. I think the Department of Transportation, the FMCSA, you know, that right there is just one of those things. If you're a director of FMCSA, it's kind of like a stepping stone to get to your next high-paying job. You know, it's one of those things where nobody cares. You know, those people that run those agencies, they don't care. You know, just like how we think we got the people that have pull and, oh, yeah, we got to get involved and have a seat at the table and all that. That doesn't matter. Okay, all these agencies and all these organizations that have had a seat at the table claim that they're looking out for the driver, it's done nothing but make things worse. So, yeah.
Has anybody heard anything out of Pat or Crash or Matt or any of them here lately?
No, they've been keeping a lot of quiet. I think they got their money and ran. Yeah. Remember, they went to
I've heard crickets out of them for the last couple of years.
Well, I think those lawyers made all that money and then they hightailed it out of town. That's what I think. I think those lawyers made all that money suing the FMCSA over the logbook issues, and then they got all their money and cashed their checks and then left. And they just got out of town. That's usually what happens. It's those lawyers, you know. The lawyers are the ones that get the fees. That's what they want, you know. Just like I was talking about before, about how when you go to orientation to these big companies and there's this book, 150-page book, and there's only like one or two pages that talks about how you get paid, but there's a whole section about how you're not supposed to be touching people inappropriately. like we have to be told that. But, Right.
If I got to touch you, if I'm going to touch you, it'll probably be inappropriately, but it probably ain't going to be just in a sexual way. It's probably going to be smacking somebody in the mouth. So either way, it's going to be inappropriate.
This other old boy here hit the number here. Let's see who this is. Say, who's that there? 4427.
Oh, this is me, Nathan in Orlando. How y'all doing?
Man, Nathan Orlando, man. Hey, how you doing?
Yeah. I was just sitting here enjoying your conversation. You know, said earlier, first of all, on the last thing you were on the skilled labor, you know, I've been driving a truck basically all my life, and because that's all I know. I started out in a tow truck working for my dad hauling cars. When I turned 18, he had me towing trucks. And then when I was 19, I had to drive one of our accounts' trucks for a night because they didn't have a driver. And then the guy came down and told me, when you turn 21, you're going to be driving for me. And so that's how I fell into this thing. And you know, you said earlier about, you know, not everybody is cut out for this. I tell my brother, I'm doing the same thing I was doing at 12 years old. I had a paper route. And you know what? That is who I am now.
There you go.
But, you know, on this thing, and I heard somebody say one time that, you know, being a truck driver, especially an over-the-road truck driver, is kind of like a calling. If you ain't called to it, you can't do it. And I can almost see that to some degree for me, but because this is what I was meant to do. But one of the things, and I'm local. I do the gas tanker thing going into 28 years now. And one of the things I've noticed, and I tried the over-the-road thing over many years ago, but here's the thing. You always got that driver that's making big bucks. He's breaking six figures by the time he gets out of the third quarter of the year. You know, and this other driver's sitting in the truck stop because they don't want to move this truck unless they can get something local. They want to make the truck not, you know, be profitable, but this driver's not making any profit. And then on the local deals, you see this guy that he gets the best loads. And that right there, you know, and another guy comes in and he's thinking, I got to do my time. And it could be years before his time is done and he's paid his dues before he falls into. And that right there is the reason people, there's a trucker shortage. Somebody's always either going to something else or moving to another company. You know, that management has a lot to do that, you know, keeping the money in the company and taking care of this driver that's been standing by you, you know. And here's what we got to run into and consider on the driver shortage. They're saying, I heard something recently, they're going to have to probably bring drivers in from other countries to fill the need. You know, I think this is getting into the political, but oh no, you know Cumberland Farms, they just got bought out about 9 months ago by a company called EG America. It's a British company.
Okay.
And they're buying out gas tanker companies, and they're buying out convenience stores and different kinds of stuff. You know what? They could bring drivers over here and put them in a truck right now.
Yeah.
You know, to fill a shortage.
Gotcha. Yeah. So yeah, so, I totally agree with you there on that. These companies, you know, it seems like, well, it's cheaper for them too, because they're based out of a different country, that they've already got their supply chain hooked up in that area, so they can bring them in, just like you're saying. what I always thought was weird was, you know, I think one of the things that, like, the topic of this show tonight, talking about getting paid, is that it is an over the road truck drivers just aren't making it. They're not getting paid like you can doing, you know. I always thought that you took a little less money being a local driver like you are, and I do the same thing. I work nights and all that, and it seems like they want to pay us a little more, but it's almost like it's worth it sometimes to take a little cut just so you can be home more, you know. And make, well, over the road is tough.
Yeah, I met a guy many years ago, and I'm going to hang up on this. Let me finish up, and then I'll go. I met a guy years ago. I tried that over-the-road thing for about 8.5 months, and it wasn't me. But I met this guy. He was buying his own fuel, bobtailing back from Colorado back to Florida because they were telling him. He told me that, and he was crying. He said he missed his children's first steps. He missed the day they got on the school bus for the first time, and his daughter was graduating, and she said, "Daddy, are you going to be there?" He goes, told his daughter, "I will be there. There's nothing that can stop me." And then he got it all set up with his dispatcher, and his dispatcher's talking about this load. No, I got a graduation to be to. And so he said, "Well, I'm just going to bring your truck back to the yard." And he pulls in to get fuel, and he finds out he cut his fuel card off. So he said he just pulled his ATM card out and bought the fuel all the way back. And he goes, "You know, I've worked with this man all these years, and they don't care." And the guy talks this crap about family values, but he gets to sit around the Thanksgiving dinner at Thanksgiving time, and the drivers don't because they want people to move on the holidays because there's less traffic, you know, and they get more done. You know, so
right.
he was tired of it. That's stuff that people need to look at.
Right.
So,
I totally agree with you. Yep.
But anyway, I'm gonna hang up and keep listening. I'm really enjoying your show. But yeah, that whole thing with the pay $50,000. You know that. No, what the reason? One guy's making that, but there's a couple other guys that are doing really, really good, and they're not going anywhere. And then they wonder why this guy wants to leave and go find another job. You know, he got more pay someplace. So anyway,
good,
I'm going to hang up and keep listening. Great job.
No, appreciate it, bud. Keep calling in, and hang on a second. I might get back with you later on in the show. Good deal. Appreciate Nathan calling in. So let me get go. No, come on. There we go. We got Greg back on and everything. So Jeff, what'd you think?
Well, I tell you what, you know, you talk about over the road all you want. I do quite well over the road. I've done over road since I started driving trucks. I can't imagine being home every night. I don't want to be home every night. you know, I can't complain. You know, I don't make top pay over the road. I know there's guys that make a whole lot more than I do. But as an owner-operator in this truck, I get to go where I want to go, when I want to go. I get to drive with the hours I want to drive. And my next load I'm picking up after this one is paying $1.98 a mile. You can't beat that. You know, yeah, I got to buy my own fuel, you know, and everything. But, hey, I'm living really comfortable. I got my house paid for, my garage paid for, my automobile paid for. And I just about got this brand new truck paid for. And the only way I could have done it is over the road truck driving. The biggest thing for me to make money is to stay away from C.H. Robinson.
There you go. I like that. Yeah, there was another comment he made that I thought, let's see. I can't remember exactly what he said, but I got it right here. Let's see what he says here. It was interesting.
Yeah, it's certainly been an inflationary cost environment, really in every mode. I mean, ocean is probably the most pronounced on a year-over-year basis, where we're seeing containers that perhaps a year ago might have been moving for a few thousand dollars are now moving in the tens of thousands of dollars from Asia to Long Beach. On the domestic trucking side, we've seen significant increases in the cost of purchased transportation over the past several quarters. It did moderate a bit in the third quarter as we're starting to see pricing in the marketplace starts to level out, albeit at much higher rates than we were at a year ago. But we do expect that there will continue to be some inflationary costs in the trucking side. You know, in our industry, we talk about the spot market and the contractual market. and the spot market continues to move ahead of contracts, which typically tends to bring pricing up over time.
So that was breaking down actually what we know in trucking is that the spot market is real high, has always been the highest because that's where the freight gets booked and, you know, maybe even it somebody fell off of it, so they got to go get somebody real quick, or they just say, hey, this guy just ordered, you know, 20 pallets, got to go now, whatever, and that's a spot market. And the contracts, me and Greg have talked about this before, where the contracts, you know, they bid them so low so they can get the contract. They say, we want to haul all your freight, and we'll do it for a low rate. And the next thing you know, they can't haul it, and they fail the customer and all that. So, and then they have to pay to the, they have to go to the spot market to get that done. But what he said there was what I was trying to get at earlier, talking about how the rates go up and down. What we've seen now is that here this last month, this last quarter, the rates kind of level off from the spike from the reopening. That what trucking does is it creates where drivers like, hey, you know what? Or people, just people in general say, hey, it's truck driving's paying really good right now. Let's go into truck driving. And they go out and they buy a truck. I mean, you're talking, I mean, maybe even people from other countries do the same thing. They got cash. They go buy a truck. They get their operating authority. They go book some freight. And they do it for pennies on the dollar from everybody else. Next thing you know, the national average goes down because there's so many people that just dive into it trying to make a quick buck. You know, and then the rates go back down because of that. And what I tell everybody all the time, it's too damn easy to be a truck driver. It's too damn easy. You know, we talk about how it's always like you got to qualify and everything, but to get your operating authority, it's not that hard.
What's interesting is the old guys that I used to know that said, well, I could haul that. You know, if I make 50 cents a mile, man, I'm doing good. I could break even at 50 cents a mile. I asked the guy, I says, do you figure in your cost of fuel? Do you figure in your cost, your tires, your oil changes, your repairs? Well, no, you got to. That's all cost of trucking. I mean, Dave Demos preached that for a long time. You got to figure out what it costs per mile to operate that truck. And that's your break-even point. And then you got to make a profit. And there's where you got to be. I got a kick out of Fox News this week. They were bragging about how the driver, today's driver, is making double of what they made a year ago. All right? Called my company up and I said, hey, when am I getting that raise? And we're not seeing double. We're getting more. I mean, our rate of freight has gone up, but it's not double. You know,
right.
So you got news agencies, and I always considered Fox to be pretty straight shooting, you know.
And all they're doing is going off kind of average that some organization, because, you know, back when everything shut down in May of 2020, you know, the rate was 50 cents a mile, you know, and truck drivers protested because of that. So if things go up a dollar a mile because everything opened back up from the pandemic, then yeah, it's going to double. We know that. I mean, what they don't understand is that when it was 50% last year was 50% of what it should have been. Or 75%.
What he's talking about there, the containers, I believe the haul a container probably is paying per premium now. I don't know. But shortage is at.
Yeah, that's where the shortage is, because the containers, you know, there's only so many containers. And in my opinion, I think that maybe the Chinese government is probably hoarding them, which means they're scarce, which means that they're more expensive and all that. And of course, you've got, you know, I mean, there is a massive uptick when everything was shut down and then all of a sudden things open back up. You say, hey, you know, we need stuff. And next thing you know, there are ships full, and that's great. And then there's a container shortage. Well, now they're saying it's not only containers, the containers that are being shipped on the ships over here, they don't have enough chassis to go for those containers. Like, there's certain containers that go with certain chassis, and they don't have enough of one or the other.
Yeah, so they're not in the right spot. That's the problem.
Right. They're not. Yeah, because. You know, because, you know, when you have you know, remember, I don't know if you remember. I remember when I was, well, you know, I still do it now. But when you get work for a company and they say, hey, we have more empties in San Antonio than we do in Dallas. We need them in Dallas.
Right.
So they tell drivers, hey, hook up some empty trailers and take them to Dallas. Okay. Well, they don't do that with the chassis. I used to do that with chassis. I remember when I worked for the over the road, every now and then they say, hey, go to Phoenix, pick up a chassis and take it to LA. You're just pulling just a chassis to Los Angeles from Phoenix because no freight,
The way they do that, Ed, the way they do that, I've done a lot of them with tollway. I'll go to the East Coast. I used to. I don't anymore because I'm just too old for it anymore. But we would stack six chassis on top of each other, chain them down, and head west with them. You know, so you can haul, you know, on a 3-foot trailer, you can only haul one at a time. You can haul six chassis at a time. But here again, it's that type of driver, you know, and I think Greg could concur with this. You know, when you get up in age, and I'd say probably the majority of our better drivers on the road are older drivers. Who wants to throw a chain anymore? I don't want to throw a chain and strap them down. So you got less drivers like us that want to throw chains and haul those containers across country.
Well, and I mean, the powers that be, those people that are so-called experts, they say that the average age for the truck driver is higher than the normal job. And that might be a factor. That might be a factor where, hey, yeah, not only are we older, we're wiser, which means that if I'm going to have to throw a chain, you're going to pay me. And
exactly.
And like I said, I don't want to do it. You know, just like chaining up, just like putting on snow chains. That load don't pay that much.
If I can make $1.98 pulling a dry van and not have to touch a chain and get paid $1.98 and throw a chain, guess which load I'm going to take?
Exactly right. And I think that's what it boils down to. You know, they said back before they had shortage of drivers to haul gasoline. And it was like, well, drivers can make more money not pulling gasoline. So can I make $1.98 pulling a dry van versus $1.98 pulling gasoline? Guess which one I'm going to do?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It all figures in.
Exactly. You're right.
You know, but when your percentage of drivers are like, you know, Greg, I want to say as old as Greg, Greg's a lot younger than I am. And he quit throwing chains. There's a reason.
No, I remember Greg used to make fun of me because I was swinging doors. He don't do that no more. And I think he took a break.
You're right.
Oh, man. But, yeah, you know what's so funny is we got, what is it, like 5 till 8. I mean, we blew through the whole 2 hours right here, man. It's been awesome. So yeah, been having a lot of fun.
What time's up?
Well, for me almost, because not only are the Cowboys playing tonight, but Atlanta is in the last game of the World Series. If Atlanta wins, it's over. So
how many games have gone?
There, it's game 5 tonight, and Atlanta is up. No.
Damn.
Yeah, game 5 is tonight, and Atlanta is up 3-1. Yeah, because the Astros won 1, and Atlanta's won 3, and it's game 5. So if Atlanta wins, it's over. And then, of course, the Cowboys are playing Minnesota on Sunday Night Football. But I don't think their quarterback's going to play, so that might be fun.
So are you rooting for Atlanta, living there in Texas?
Yeah, I've always been a Braves fan. I grew up when I grew up, we had cable.
God, that's...
Well, listen to the story now. We had cable, but you know back in the 80s, the only games that you could watch on TV were either the Cubs or the Braves. And back then, the Cubs weren't that good. The Braves were really good, with Dale Murphy and Chris Chambliss and all those guys, and we'd watch them every weeknight. The Braves would be on, and I used to hate it when they would be playing in San Diego, and the games wouldn't come on until like 9:30. But we'd watch them every night, and grew up watching the Braves. So yeah, we were always big Braves fans. And then of course I got my dad and my sister, they live in Atlanta, and I got nieces and nephews. They're big Braves fans. So yeah, you know, I got an uncle, he's in Houston, but he's an Astros fan and a Ranger fan. So, you know, what are you going to do? But yeah, we're a big sports family here. We like that stuff. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
I hit 70 mile an hour road in Ohio here. So I better get her on down the road some more.
Good deal. Yeah. What's that?
Tim just informed me to tell you that we was approved for the booth down at Max, so we will have a booth at Max.
All right, just got
the email from them from Chris Blair, so we will be getting the booth.
So you heard it here first on Redneck and Eyes Radio that there will be a Redneck and Eyes booth. We don't have a number yet. As soon as we get the booth number, we'll make sure everybody gets told. And that will be looking out for us at the truck show in the booth. We normally set up in the parking lot. We're hoping that that's still a go, and we're hoping that that's going to be great. But as far as we know, you know, we're just going to do our normal little thing. We've always talked about how we would like to get the truck show involved in our activities, but a lot of times it's just hanging out, you know, setting up like a little tailgate, and we got a small little tent. And we just welcome everybody to hang out with us at their truck show in the parking lot.
Come get your wristband in our booth.
Yeah, come to our booth, and we'll give you a free wristband and a free coaster. We got coasters, Redneck and I's coasters. Man, I love them. I don't know. If you watch it on YouTube, I got it right here. Got my Redneck and I's coaster. Yep. I got heat from that. They're like, why'd you buy those? I said, because they're cool. I like them. So, but anyway, but yeah, we will have a booth, and what we're going to do, in fact, since we know we're going to be doing that, what we can tell everybody here also is that I'm going to have a camera there and everything, and we're going to be interviewing people and giving, you tell us your Redneck and I story, which means that if you had something go wrong and the job still had to get done and you took care of it and you got the job done, we want to hear your stories. And we'll be there at the booth hearing everybody's stories. And that's what I want to do. I want to hear everybody's stories. So come by the booth and tell me your story. And we'll put it on video and we'll get it out there and tell everybody and just show the world how badass truck drivers are. So, you know, we get things done when everything goes wrong. So yeah, that's pretty much all I got tonight. You guys, you got anything else?
No, I'm good. I'm actually proud of myself. I actually kept my blood pressure down tonight. I had a good evening.
Yeah.
I didn't have to get all excited tonight.
There you go.
Yeah, I noticed that. I think you were sick or something.
No, I was trying to behave myself.
Yep. Well, I was looking at it. Yep. That looks like everybody's there. Good deal. All right, bud.
All right.
We'll see you later, Ed.
All right, now take care. Good deal. Yep, that's all the guys out there tonight. Let's see, where is we need a good little I know what we're gonna do. I gotta go over here. Anybody out there, you know who I'm talking about is where is he at? There it is. So anybody knows, it's a good friend of mine, and he's a pretty good guitar player and singer, and his name is Dave Gore. Now, Dave Gore, I met Dave Gore, I think it was at the Louisville Truck Show. It was either there or Dallas, I can't remember. And I'm like, who's this little short dude hanging out with us over here? And he ain't saying a word. And he's real, you know, he doesn't talk very much. And you start talking to him, and he's a really cool guy. And I'm like, well, good to meet you and have a good night. And then the guy gets on stage and he goes, and I want to bring up our next performer, and that's Dave Gore. And, oh, that old boy I was talking to got up there and started singing. And I'm like, man, oh, man, I never knew that. I never knew who he was. And then he started singing, and I tell you what, he's like one of my favorite singers now. And he's got some great songs. I've got a couple of his albums. And I hope to see him again at the Louisville Truck Show. And I know he's listening out there, and I know he enjoys us playing his music. But we're going to leave it at that. This is Dave Ford, Southern Red, White, and Blue.
Used to justice was served on a rope. When evil was done, that was all that she wrote. But somewhere somebody decided that wasn't right. Now the bad guys run free in the street, while the good guys pay the price. They say people don't kill people, guns and rebel flags do. We can't speak of Jesus, how dare we ever speak the truth. These days, it's hard to find a line between right and wrong. With the past erased and rewritten, we don't understand where we came from. We'll be doomed to repeat those mistakes unless we tell that story right. There's no way around the truth, no matter how hard you try. They say people don't kill people, but guns and rebel flags do. And you can't speak of Jesus, 'cause how dare we ever speak the truth. Used to, justice was served on a